Like sands through the Blackwater, so are the days of our Milton. And now, another episode of City Council Melodrama Theater.
And make no mistake, the funding sources are watching. They know the history and how we arrived at today. If we falter at this moment of truth, the difficulty in raising funds will compound exponentially along with the cost. In February 2021, I sat in this room as we opened bids for this very project that totaled $52 million. It shocked everyone at that price tag in 2021. The bid in 2024 was $85 million. You will see later tonight that we are approaching three times the cost of the original project for a 4 million gallon per day plant and disposal area. 5 years, 300% increase in cost. What would that be in two more years?
Milton City Council having a special meeting related to the wastewater treatment plant. That's the voice of Ed Spears, the city manager, saying that, look, you know, we punted once and the funding sources have been willing to work with us, partially because we have such a great former grants manager, and now she's the assistant city administrator, but that's Sandy Woodbury. And she's come back and we're ready to go, but we're coming back to you again for a decision. You need to commit your reserve funds to this project so she can really go fundraise, get grants, do all that stuff. But look, if we punt again, we're dead. We won't be able to go to these folks a third time, and the cost has already gone up dramatically. $52 million at first, then $85 million, which we thought was outrageous because of delays. And then you guys got a whole new bunch of people into the city council. The, you know, Pitchfork Posse and the Save Our Blackwater folks won the election. They swept into power and they punted and blew up the old system. And then we had to come back again. And now the price has almost doubled since then, tripled since the first time. And we are ready to go. We can do it. But if you punt again, it's going to be all over but the shouting. So one of the things that had happened at the last time this had come up in Milton was a bunch of questions had been raised by the Save Our Blackwater people. They had said, well, we're not too sure about all this. We're not against the project, they say. We're on board with the project. We know it needs to be done, but we have concerns, questions, objections, whatever, about the particular use of some portions of the site that it's going on. So they raised these questions, and I don't know exactly how everything transpired, but I do know that the questions that FDEP was asking in their request for additional information, RAI they call it, were remarkably similar to the questions that the Save Our Blackwater people were raising. So fine, Rick Delp with Donovan Hill was there to answer the questions.
This is the downtown plant pump station. That's the first component of moving the effluent to the spray fields and getting it out of the river. That design is 100% complete, ready for bid. The permit has been deemed complete by DEP, and they're in the process of writing that permit. It has not been submitted as an intent to issue at this point.
So we're ready to go?
The pipeline will be bid as an effluent discharge system. It will be, when the new plant is built and the downtown plant is abandoned, the pipeline will be converted to a raw water system or a force main, where it'll move the raw water from downtown to the new wastewater treatment plant.
You would think of it as sewage, but actually what you would think of as sewage is raw water. It's almost all water. It's only got a little bit of bad stuff in it. Now, the little bit of bad stuff is significant, don't get me wrong, but, you know, using a pump lift station to move water and using that same pump station later to move what you would call sewage or what they call raw water is really the same thing. The point is that the effluent treated right now goes into the Blackwater River. The idea is to pump it across the river, under the river, and then to go over to these spray fields and then eventually to take that pipe, that pump station offline, the plant offline. But there's still going to be, you know, that same untreated sewage is going to be coming into that plant. We're just going to lift station it over across to the new plant that's going to be built and then use the spray fields to discharge it over there. It's very easy to do dual duty for something like that. Now, the questions I was mentioning, the FDEP questions, Paul Delmos, I think is his name. They only said it one time and it was hard to catch for sure, but I believe that's the guy's name, was also there to answer these questions.
We've highlighted kind of the gist of the question in our responses are in the little blue text box. What we have here from question number one, they're asking for more borings, essentially, on the western part of the parcel. Our answer is, we'll provide more borings. No issue there.
And that had been one of the complaints, is not enough soil sampling, basically, if you want to think of it that way.
Similar to question number one, question number two, they were concerned with the area that's bounded by TH4, TH10, TH8, and TH5. We'll provide more borings. I guess they thought that was kind of an empty space there on the site.
So again, we'll do what they say, no problem.
One of the major concerns for DEP on site 4 is they're worried about overland flow and perching due to some of the clay soils that exist intermittently across the site. Legitimate concern. However, our geotech report notes that even the most limiting of those soils can still infiltrate it at a rate of 3.6 inches per day, and we're only asking DEP for two inches per week on average. So a lot of conservatism built in there.
And even including for rainfall. Like, the reason I'm playing this for you, I know it's in some ways super boring, but part of the reason I'm playing it for you is because a lot of these decisions have been made by non-experts and the people that they got into office to represent them, which is fine. That's the democratic process. But the purpose of having experts is to trust their judgment. Now, they didn't trust them before when it came to the first site. They said, we don't believe in you, so we're going to go to a second site. And so now we're back to basically the same experts, but now we're going to, you know, we still don't trust you. So we're going to give all these questions to FDEP. Again, my theory about what happened. FDEP is going to ask us for more information. And again, we have answers. If you would just trust us, we're not dumb. But, you know, the people want to know because they're not willing to trust the experts. So he's giving answers like the steep slopes. Won't the steep slopes on one portion of this property be a problem?
Another concern DEP had was the presence of steep slopes to the western portion. The EPA, the National Pollution Discharge, they specify, when there's no other definition of a steep slope, they specify steep slopes as 15% or greater. We're only in the western portion of the site, we're only looking at slopes of 9%, 8%, which is ADA ramps for context.
So he's, again, it looks to the naked eye of the untrained civilian, look at that slope. It looks to the engineer-trained eye of the expert like, bro, you just don't know enough to have the opinion that you have. We're still well in the safe zone compared to things not only theoretically, but to actually projects we've done. Listen to me. I am the expert. Like, not Andrew McKay, but, you know, Paul Domos and Rick Delp. Anyway, we'll come back to this in a second. We got Jordan sitting in for John Pickens this morning with traffic on the fives.
Yeah, roads are actually not too bad right now. We do have a slowdown crossing over the bridge for Bayou Grande heading to the main gate for NAS Pensacola, but that is about it. If you see anything else, you can let us know, 850-437-1620. I'm Jordan with your traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much, Jordan. And by the way, thank you for coming in on late notice.
Yeah, of course.
I appreciate it.
Absolutely.
I always love having you on the show.
Always happy to hop in.
Paul Domos, again, from Donovan Hill, talking about the wastewater treatment plant and answering the questions brought up by FDEP, which to me sound very suspiciously similar to the questions or objections raised by the Save Our Blackwater people. Anyway, what about wetlands? Are there not wetlands on the site that are a problem?
There was some concern over on the eastern portion. There was an alleged steep head. What do they call it? Yeah, they call it a steep head or intermittent stream, ephemeral stream. So UES, who's our wetland delineation experts that we used on this site, they didn't find any wetlands over there. They obviously marked the boundary on the western side, which is what the city used to as their delineation for the purchase of the property. But the wetland experts didn't find any wetlands or steep heads on the eastern side.
So no wetlands, people. The expert came and looked, and you don't know. Also, the slope and the runoff was another issue, and he's like, we did a project in Crestview that's worse than this, that's been there for 20 years, no problems.
What we have here, this is a picture, this is not our site, this is Sprayfields over in Crestview. This is a job that BDI did 20-something years ago. And there's an elevation profile across one of the sections, and we're looking at 9.5 to 11% average slope, comparable to what we have on the western portion, a little bit worse actually. That's been there for 20 years, and they've never had any issues with runoff or erosion control.
And I bring all of this up only to give you, again, because if you live in Milton or you're going to vote in Milton, you have elections this year. You know, Heather Lindsay, Mike Cusack, Marilyn Farrow are up for re-election. Oh, gosh, who are the other two now? All of a sudden escapes my brain. Pitchfork Posse Blackwater people, they were the ones that killed the first project. They got the four new councilmen voted in over the old ones. And they've cost you, you know, depending on how you want to count it, 30 70, $100 million for delaying this project. And they're asking questions that the engineers are like, sir. But the refusal to listen to the experts. Okay, now it's going to get fun. This is, you know, a little bit fun anyway, because the one person who, if he can throw a wrench into things, he will do so. He manages to, I don't know how. You think, like, you know, coin flips, you'd at least get things right half the time. Mike Cusack manages to get it wrong almost all of the time.
Councilman Cusack.
Yeah, I'm going to be a little bit here.
I got some stuff I want to say, and here we go.
Why did we abruptly change the use of spray fields on the 245 acres from 145 to 214 without notification to the council before that change was made?
I'm not aware of any such change.
As in, your facts are wrong, sir.
So it's always been 214 acres? Is that correct, Mr. Depp?
That's the amount of property that...
We own 245, correct?
Thank you for interrupting me with your ignorance.
Roughly, and then you take out the setbacks, the required setbacks from neighboring properties that you're required to create distance from your neighbors, and that yields the 214 acres that's usable for spray fields.
Originally, wasn't it 145 acres for the spray fields, the original concept?
No, sir.
It was never?
No. That number is the initial clearing and grubbing.
That's the clearing and grubbing. Has nothing
correct.
To do with...
Which we just stated has nothing to do with the design of the spray field.
I mean, draw it in crayon for him. I don't know how to explain it. He just doesn't know what he's talking about.
Okay, so we're going to clear and grub 214 acres instead of 145?
Ultimately, at the end, yes.
Why?
Because that's the area we've got to clear and grub to create the spray field. But we don't want to clear, as Rick just said, the sloped area... until we're ready to do the construction there. And we're not going to be ready to do the construction there until we have the permit. And so we will phase that in. Site 4 will be cleared and grubbed last. And remember, the clearing and grubbing of, what's the total acreage? 300 and something?
Yeah, thanks.
It's going to take a year to clear that property, and Site 4 will be last. And we should have the permit well before that.
It's just... I don't mind people asking questions. I don't mind people having objections. What I mind is arrogance and stupidity mixed together. And Mike Cusack is always the one who's just like, sure, he knows exactly what's going on and usually does not, and proceeds in a very arrogant, contemptuous kind of way, which I know Ed Spears has got to be thinking to himself, good Lord, man. Just let me explain it to you at your pace. Here, this is fascinating.
Mr. Depp, you being an engineer, does your company have the experience with utilizing wetlands for effluent disposal?
We do not, but we engage geotechnical groups and other firms that do have that experience.
So Baskerville Donovan has never utilized wetlands in the past. Is that correct? At any site anywhere? Is that correct?
That's correct.
Okay.
By the way, what he's getting at is the idea of an alternative of building a man-made wetland as a way of doing water effluent treatment, because it does it pretty well if you can build those kinds of things, as opposed to having the spray fields and all this. But anyway, that's kind of what he's getting at. And Mike Cusack's like, we never did that before? Well, I mean, I don't think so, but...
Is that the reason why we were never presented that option?
Oh, good Lord.
To the council?
That is not.
So you didn't tell us about this thing because you're not experts in it. And that's always his approach, is you guys are dumb or you're lying or you're not qualified to be engineers. He's insulted the engineers and the staff many times over the course of this conversation.
So why didn't we ever know about this man-made wetlands before just recently? I didn't know about any of it until just two weeks ago.
Councilman, that answer was my opening statement. This council chose.
I already answered this at the beginning, sir. You chose to go fast and save time and money. We went fast to save time and money. And now at the, 11:48, you're complaining that you didn't have an additional expensive, weird, innovative option. Well, you told us to go fast. You voted to go fast.
Council chose unanimously, yourself included, but to fast track this project as it was previously designed using that technology.
Yeah, but don't you think we should have been provided that other technology that can actually not require a purchase of any more property?
We offered that to this council.
You offered wetlands proposal to the council?
We offered a blank piece of paper where we would go explore every new means and method, and you made that decision, and then we executed it.
We started after the election. We'll do anything you want us to do, including start from scratch, and blank piece of paper, no expectations, and you said, no. Just go fast and get it done.
So we were all made aware of that man-made wetlands was an option.
Sir. No, you were made aware that we could start at a clean slate, a blank piece of paper, and explore every new option. And along the way, you would make those decisions. And y'all said no. The cost was too much and the time was too much.
And when was this done?
December 19th, 2024.
Like they've said several times.
I don't remember making that decision.
Okay. The good news in all of this is that the other city council members are going to say, Mike, bro, no, yes, they make this decision. We did move fast. But he just, like, he can't help himself for trying to find a way to screw this up. Up for re-election this year, by the way. And if you wanted me to take the time and explain to you all the things that he has done wrong over the years, I can. But this is just the most recent example. So they did make the decision to commit the money. They are on the path forward to either a 3 million gallon per day or a 4 million gallon per day, despite the objections raised by Mike Cusack and some others. But there's more interesting stuff about this coming up. We'll deal with it next hour. 625 here on News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay. Jordan Glass is in this morning with traffic on the fives.
Yeah, and roads really looking pretty good right now. That slowdown we had at the main gate, we're kind of refreshing it here. That looks like it is actually cleared up, so you should be good to go there. But if you do come across anything that is slowing you down, let us know, 850-437-1620. I'm Jordan with your traffic on the fives.
Hey, if you are thinking about buying or selling a home and you want to get the, obviously, you don't want to just kind of halfway do it. You know, there's no fun in listing a home and being inconvenienced and then not getting it sold. But that happens to a lot of people. I mean, this is a challenging market, you know, rental prices of real estate have not really gotten a lot better. The interest rates have not really gotten a lot better. The market was surging for a while and then it kind of stopped and stagnated a little bit. And that's kind of where we are. A lot of people are struggling to sell homes. Christina Leavenworth and her folks at Levin Rinke Realty, not so much. Last year, they were actually up in a difficult year. They went from 165 the year before to 209 homes sold last year. That's 4 a week on average. It's pretty amazing. And a lot of the listings that they take over from other realtors who cannot, you know, get it done, which, I mean, look, it's hard. It doesn't, you know, just that's your level of experience and your level of expertise and what you can actually do. And they do extraordinary things. Don't take my word for it. Call. Add her to your list of people that you're going to interview and find out why they're so effective and why people rave about them. 786-3996 for Christina Leavenworth and her team at Levin Rinke Realty.
When Pensacola Sports plays, everyone wins. For over 70 years, Pensacola Sports has been in the game, creating, recruiting, hosting, and supporting amateur, collegiate, and professional events that make the Pensacola area a premier sports destination. Every event, every electrifying moment drives real economic impact and delivers top-tier competition that elevates our quality of life. This is more than sports. This is Pensacola's game. Pensacola Sports, the team behind the biggest moments. Learn more at pensacolasports.org.
Finding great candidates to hire can be like, well, trying to find a needle in a haystack. Sure, you can post your job to some job board, but then all you can do is hope the right person comes along. Which is why you should try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/free. ZipRecruiter doesn't depend on candidates finding you. It finds them for you. Its powerful technology identifies people with the right experience and actively invites them to apply to your job. You get qualified candidates fast. So while other companies might deliver a lot of hay, ZipRecruiter finds you what you're looking for. The needle in the haystack.
See why 4 out of 5 employers who post a job on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire. And right now you can try ZipRecruiter for free. That's right, free at ZipRecruiter.com/free. That's ZipRecruiter.com/free. ZipRecruiter.com/free.
ZipRecruiter.
Hey, hey, Pensacola pet parents. Got questions about your fur babies? Well, I'm Dr. Mark Sprayberry, owner of Olive Branch Pet Hospital. I would like to invite you and your friends to tune in to the all-new Pet Talk, where I'll be answering all your questions live on air.
Tune in Thursday at 10:30 on the Pensacola Expert Panel. The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. Text or call with your questions. 850-437-1620.
Is your business, church organization, civic group, school, or other nonprofit organization having a fundraiser or other community event? Let News Radio 92.3 AM 1620 help you spread the word. Send us your information to be presented on our Here's What's Happening weekly announcements. We look forward to hearing from you. Submit your events at newsradio923.com.
Keeping you connected to Pensacola and the world.
News Radio 92.3.
Informative, informative, local, dependable.
Pac-Man for you. 6:30 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. David Wayne, we have a quick headline for you, sir.
Sure do. An Army Apache helicopter went down near the coast of Oman, but the good news, both crew members are safe. They were rescued by a drone boat.
Outstanding. Very good. We'll have local news after Fox coming up next.
Fox News, I'm Gianna Gelosi. It is primary day for a handful of states across the country with voters set to make their voices heard in Maine, Nevada, South Carolina. In Maine, Democrats want to flip Susan Collins' seat.
Democrat Graham Plattner has been plagued by a series of scandals and accusations. They include the candidate's Nazi-style chest tattoo, which is now covered, claims of messaging women outside his marriage, and allegations from several women who say that they had been involved with him, describing the relationship as toxic and volatile.
Fox's Alex Hogan. President Trump's still pushing for a deal with Iran and says we could have an idea of a potential peace agreement in the coming days.
After President Trump called on Israel and Iran to stop shooting, both sides agreed. Since then, Israel has continued to operate against Iran-backed Hezbollah in Lebanon.
Fox's Trey Yingst. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 6:31 at News Radio 92.3. We've got 75 degrees right now, cloudy skies. We'll get a look at our forecast in just a few minutes. Two shark attacks have been reported along the Gulf Coast here in just the last few days. On Friday, a fisherman at Fort Pickens on Pensacola Beach was life-flighted to the hospital after a bull shark he'd hooked bit him on the upper leg when he tried to remove the hook on the beach. His injuries were non-life-threatening. Then Sunday, another shark encounter reported at NSA Panama City, the MWR Marina there. The victim was taken to a hospital. Shark attacks, of course, rare here in the area. Only six confirmed unprovoked attacks have been recorded in Escambia County since 1882. Florida District 1 Congressman Jimmy Patronis says one of the most important reasons the education slice was carved out of Florida's property tax amendment is also one of the most telling. The legislature knows it can't guarantee it would have the money to replace that funding if something goes wrong.
We've got an amazing state with good jobs and nice places to take our kids because it's safe, because this state invests in safety. Now, that primary funding comes from, it doesn't come from the state of Florida, it doesn't come from the federal government, it comes from property taxes. That is how local law enforcement is funded. That's how our first responders are funded. When you call 911 and somebody shows up at your house a minute and a half later, you know, thank your property taxes.
And Patrona says when Marco Rubio was Florida House Speaker, a similar effort to eliminate homestead property taxes had proposed a 2.5% sales tax increase as replacement revenue. That plan was killed by the Senate. He says the current proposal includes no replacement revenue at all, meaning local governments will simply have to absorb the loss. Florida voters decide on the amendment in November. A woman is dead after being hit by an SUV in Escambia County yesterday. The Florida Highway Patrol says that crash happened on the New Warrington Spur in US 90. An SUV struck the woman as she walked into its path. An investigation is ongoing. No other details have been released on that incident. Well, Northwest Florida is still in a drought. Chris Bryan with this story. He says outdoor burning is still a big concern.
Despite a foot of rain across much of the area last month, most of Escambia County remains at a moderate drought. NorthEscambia.com reports that a small area of the county is now officially out of a drought. This includes Nokemas and Davisville. They're classified as just being abnormally dry. The drought monitor does not measure recent rainfall. It tracks how deeply an area's total water system has recovered from long-term deficits. Chris Bryan, News Radio 92.3.
Well, the city of Pensacola wants input on plans to beautify Bayfront Parkway. They've got a public meeting set for next Tuesday, June 16th, from 5 to 6:30 p.m. It's going to be at the Pensacola Library on North Spring Street. That project would add trees, shrubs, and amenities along Bayfront Parkway from South Tarragona to North 14th Avenue. It's part of a broader shared-use path project. Residents at that meeting can share their feedback on conceptual designs to help shape the final construction documents. It's 6:35 at News Radio 92.3, and Jordan's got a look at our traffic on the fives.
Yeah, roads right now are pretty good. No major accidents or slowdowns, but if you do come across anything, let us know. 850-437-1620. I'm Jordan with your traffic on the fives.
Warm and muggy to start your Tuesday morning. Going into the afternoon, highs climb into the upper 80s and a low 90s with a mix of sun and clouds and perhaps an isolated shower here and there. Going into tonight, lows fall into the 70s once again with some patchy fog developing. Wednesday features lots of sunshine with highs back into the upper 80s. I'm meteorologist Marion Caldwell with your WAR First Warning Weather Forecast.
And right now, 75, we've got cloudy skies across the area. Our next news at 7 and breaking news anytime. I'm David Wayne, News Radio 92.3.
I'm Nicole Murray with Your Money Now. Oil prices have dropped by more than 2% this morning as investors await clarity after Iran and Israel halt attacks. West Texas Intermediate at roughly $89 a barrel, Brent at $92. Nuvalent shares have surged 39% this morning after news broke that Britain's second largest drug maker, GSK, has entered an agreement to acquire the U.S. drug maker. The all-cash deal values Nuvalent at about $124 per share, representing a 40% premium to its last closing price. Treasury yields were largely unchanged this morning as bond markets took a breather ahead of more economic data releases later this week. The 10-year Treasury note yield was last seen up less than one basis point at 4.556%. The 2-year Treasury note yield was 1.1 basis point lower at 4.147%. Futures are up this morning as oil prices slide and chip stocks rebound. That's Your Money Now.
I know that hiring can be challenging. You sort through tons of resumes and you get too many so-so applicants. You're just waiting for someone to match your role perfectly. Well, now, there's a place where you can meet them fast. ZipRecruiter.
Need to hire right away. Start your search for strong candidates. The right fit awaits. Build your team. Build it sooner. Meet your match on ZipRecruiter.
Just head to ZipRecruiter.com/free right now to try it for free. And you're on your way to meeting your match. 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. So try it now. Go to ZipRecruiter.com/free. Once again, that's ZipRecruiter.com/free.
Meet your match on ZipRecruiter. Try it free.
Join Jonathan Cook from Jonathan's Flooring and Construction tomorrow at 9 a.m. on the Pensacola Expert Panel. Jonathan will be sharing his years of expertise on flooring, including insight on materials, installation, and maintenance, plus lots of great advice on home and office remodeling, including the kitchen, bath, cabinets, and more.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. Text or call with your questions. 850-437-1620.
Bands on the Beach, presented by the Santa Rosa Island Authority, every Tuesday night at 7 at the Gulfside Pavilion on Pensacola Beach. Bring a blanket or a lawn chair and relax and enjoy the sunset with your favorite bands. This week, 1211, a radiant, energetic, and dynamic pop R&B band with a vast range of cathartic and dance-worthy songs, warm vocals, an infectious groove, and fresh sound. This week at Bands on the Beach, brought to you by the Santa Rosa Island Authority.
You know what you want to do in retirement, but do you know how to get there? Tune in to What Your Money Would Say with Andrew McNair of Swan Capital, Saturdays at 1, to get answers to your retirement planning questions. plan today so you can do all the things you've dreamt about doing in retirement. Don't miss What Your Money Would Say with Andrew McNair, Saturdays at 1. Firm offers insurance services, advisory services offered through Swan Capital, LLC.
Andrew McKay in the Pensacola Morning News.
Jimmy Petronis is on the line with us. Congressman, welcome back to the Pensacola Morning News, sir.
I'm live from Washington, D.C. today.
We've obviously today been talking about the property tax proposal that has come out of the House and the Senate now.
I have been through a property tax special session before. At the same time that you want to lower everybody's property tax bill, you also have those essential services.
Andrew McKay in the Pensacola Morning News. Listen weekdays 5 to 9 a.m. News Radio 92.3.
Informative, local, dependable.
So you heard it there on the bottom of the hour news, Bob Johnson talking about the challenges facing Santa Rosa County if the property tax referendum passes. Obviously we'll see, but he basically said, look, I'd have to cut deputies based on what I know right now. And he's going to talk more specifics with the property appraiser, what did he say this week, next week, I forget, but he's going to get a better sense of the particular details. I think every city and county in the state is doing the exact same thing right now, trying to figure out exactly what this is going to cost in terms of revenue and then how to make it up, if it's even possible to make it up, and or how to make cuts, if it's even possible to make the cuts. And, if it passes, and then to decide what to say. I think he's the first law enforcement officer to really come out and say, yeah, if you believe in public safety, this is going to be a problem for us too. Now, our posts on Facebook, I will tell you, I put stuff up on Facebook, not all the time. I'm not super. I probably put more stuff on my own personal page than I do on our news radio page. But when I think something will be interesting or newsworthy, I put it up on our Facebook page. So, for example, yesterday I posted about Jimmy Petronis and daylight saving and how if that bill passes, what it'll do. And I gave you a map so you can see when would daylight happen, then versus now in the winter. And it shared like 6 times. It had like 20 likes, 27 likes and 6 comments, which is, that's not a great post, but it's okay. Something on our Facebook page, just for perspective, pretty normal would be like 10, 15 shares, something like that, maybe 20 or 30 comments. Jimmy Petronis' Blue Angels given to Trump was like 60 shares and 200 likes. When, the new cruiser for PPD, it was like 270 likes and 30 shares. An outlier in this regard was when I posted about the machine guns, and that was 13,000 shares. I've never seen it in my life. Like, the best posts we've ever made were like 300 or 400. 10,000 likes. It's crazy. And the only reason I tell you all that, not to get into all the metrics of our Facebook page, is to give you an understanding of what happened yesterday. Because when I posted, basically Santa Rosa Sheriff Bob Johnson says he'll have to reduce deputies if the property tax referendum passes, and then some of the details, it got some attention. It shared 90 times, but it had 1,700 comments. 1,700, which, good Lord. So I figure you probably want to talk about this. If 1,700 people thought it was worth their time to make a comment on Facebook, and I thought I would share some of them because it was fascinating. I always, now Jordan, you and I don't get to work together all that often. I'm not very active in terms of commenting and interacting on Facebook.
Right.
I pass by a lot of stuff. A lot of stuff. Some people, I think, everything they see, they say something about it.
Oh, yeah, people got stuff to say.
Sometimes they're president of the United States.
hang on now.
Anyway, I always think it's fascinating that, like, to me, if I see a post that's got, like, 10 comments,
yeah,
I look at that and think, well, if I comment, chances are somebody will see it. If a post has 1,000 comments, there's nobody going to see anything I say because there's 1,000 comments, so I don't even bother. Anyway, well, in this case, people just kept adding. All right, so here are, some of the comments out of the 1,700 of them in no particular order. Where did it go? I thought I had it kind of in order. All right. Wayne, some cities, counties, and states are run better than others, so the size of the financial impact if this passes will vary. It depends on where they get their revenue more, actually. Generally speaking, though, government seldom truly has a revenue problem. What they do have is a spending problem. Somewhat agree. But also, I know our local governments do a really good job of trying to keep their budgets tight. Let's see. This amendment is another attack on home rule, Daniel says. Counties and municipalities will have to go begging to Tallahassee for anything. definitely truth to that, especially when you pair it with the fact that they did not cut the school slice of the property taxes because the Tallahassee legislators would have to make up for that. They only cut the part that doesn't really cost them anything. Somebody says, Nicholas says, maybe he can actually have his deputies do stuff instead of just set up speed traps in Santa Rosa. The Santa Rosa County Sheriff's deputies do an awful lot. Escambia also do an awful lot, so... But okay, fine. You know, I'm just kind of reading the comments, giving a little bit of thought. Jonathan says, budgeting process is going to be a pain. Government bureaucrats are not... By the way, that comment got like 100 interactions. Government bureaucrats are not used to living within their means. Funny how they never say my pay will be cut by 20%. It's always somebody else is going to lose their job. I think the sheriff's pay is statutorily set based on the size of the county by statute so that it can't be impacted, for example, by the... You know, county commission. I think that's true. I could be wrong about that. I think that's true. Let's see. Sean says only the commissioners can cut the sheriff's budget, not the proposed tax cut on homesteaders. That's true technically. But what Sheriff Johnson was getting at is that within the budget that the county is going to have coming to it, everything is going to have to be cut. And since such a large slice of that goes to law enforcement, it stands to reason that law enforcement is going to have to pay the price. By the way, even if they don't cut, like actual make cuts, you still have the problem that every year deputies get paid more currently, and every year salaries go up, of course, costs go up every year. And if you, even if you were to just freeze it, you still have the problem of how do you compete? How do you stay competitive against other law enforcement agencies? How do you, especially out of state, you know, how do you keep up with the cost of living essentially? This happens to be Romy White, the publisher of South Santa Rosa News, says time for DOGE cuts across the board in Santa Rosa County. You know, just impose the cuts and let them deal with it. Let's see. Justin writes, boo-hoo, tighten, like tighten your belt. Let's see. Kent says, I'd have to say, having the privilege of living in Santa Rosa County and having the privilege of knowing this brave patriotic leader, I'm guessing that he is spot on with everything he does. There's a reason he's been the sheriff-elect, unopposed. Unopposed last time, I think also. I could be wrong about that, but I think that's true. And it's because of a no-nonsense, tough military attitude. My money says this man could do a great job of governor as well. Let's see, what else? There was one I had read it. Somebody had said, I thought they protected that. If you read the statute, it actually says law enforcement can't be cut. That was a prior version of things that did not actually pass in the final version. So no, that's not actually in there. Yes, that was originally part of the intention, but that is not it. Somebody says he can cut vehicle usage and people taking their cars home. I don't know how much a part of the budget that is, but it's pretty normal for deputies or officers to take their cars home. Somebody says, Mike says no. So now we'll have to send 6 officers to respond to a speeding ticket instead of 10. Which, I get, it's funny you think of, but do you know why police officers send multiple units to respond to a traffic stop? Because you only have one deputy or officer in a car, and if something goes sideways, you want to have more than one involved. And, you know, you never know which is going to be the one where things go sideways. Now, you know, I don't think they send 10 to a traffic stop unless there's drugs or some kind of additional crime. But, you know, 2 or 3 is pretty normal. Because most of the time, they're just driving around just watching and nothing's happening. When something happens, they respond. So anyway, I just thought it was interesting reading some of the comments. And, you know, some of them are savvy and some of them are not so savvy. And 1,700 people participated, so I figured you want to talk about it. 647 on News Radio 92.3, if you want to weigh in directly to me, 437-1620 is my number. Jordan has Traffic on the Fives.
And this Traffic on the Fives brought to you by the Crohn's and Colitis Foundation. The Crohn's and Colitis Foundation has led inflammatory bowel disease research and care for over 50 years. Learn more online at crohnsandcolitisfoundation.org. Roads are looking good, but if you do come across any issue, let us know, 850-437-1620. I'm Jordan with your Traffic on the Fives.
And by the way, just a... like one more thought on this, and I know we are going to have probably so many times to talk about this initiative between now and November, and we've talked about it quite a bit already. And I will tell you what I still believe about me, just in case, you know, if that matters to you. I still have not decided how I'm going to vote on it. I am very tempted to take the money and watch, you know, and get my popcorn and just see. How bad do things get? Because I'm sympathetic, and I have my whole life I have opposed property taxes on principle. And we just managed to get a terrible proposal here with a whole bunch of sloppy edits and inconsistencies, and it's not philosophically consistent because it's not eliminating all of your property taxes. It's only eliminating the homestead exemption on the house you live in, not the school port, the part, not your commercial, not your rental house. I mean, it's just, this proposal is nutty, but it's something. And it is, we could try it and see what happens. And I am very tempted to that. But I also know a lot of the local politicians, and I know how serious they are and how hard they work to keep things affordable and stay within budget. And, you know, taking a chainsaw to their budget is not going to produce the results that you as a citizen want. I know that's going to be true, too. And it may not show up within a week, but you just can't cut $90 million from the Escambia County budget and not see a result. You can't just cut, $6 million from the Pensacola City budget and not see an impact. I forget what the number is in, Escambia, in Santa Rosa, but I guess it's more in the like $45 to $50 million vicinity. You know, and especially with the MSTU that they put in the last time around where the sheriff gets 2 mils directly off of your house. They're going to have to redo all of that, I assume. So I'm very torn. Now, if I ever decide what I'm going to do, I will let you know. It's likely to be a very close call. If I had to vote for today, I'm still not sure. I just don't know. But hearing the sheriff directly tell you this will affect law enforcement, that gets my attention, as it did thousands of people yesterday. 6:50 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay. And if you want to learn how to do math better for your children as a child, if they're getting into summer now and they're not doing math and you're worried about them, staying sharp, because you know what happens, right, is during the summer they're not doing math. And so what happens? They slide. They call it the summer slide. 50% of students lose about 2 months' worth of math skills. Some can be more, some can be less, but that's a pretty normal result. That means that when they go back to school in August, they're not going back as May math students. They're going back as March math students. So it's not just that they don't get ahead. They actually slide backwards. Well, guess what? Mathnasium, they can fix this problem during the summer. Obviously, they're there to help all during the school year and make sure your kids are learning what they need to learn and, fixing anything that they didn't learn or didn't learn properly. But during the summer, they can really help your kids get ahead, get ready for the new skills and concepts they're going to be getting in the fall. They can leap ahead, look ahead, get ready for new skills. They can catch up and keep up as well. But it all starts with a free assessment. Just take your kid in, have them do it's a relatively short kind of a test, okay? But that's to find out where they're at. And then they can talk with you about, here's what will happen most likely if they don't. Here's what will happen if we take care of them. And then over the summer, they can work with their kids and get them ready for that next year. And you can, have them be much better prepared for it. I'm a big believer in Mathnasium. My son taught there for a year. We're really good friends with the owners. I love what they do. Donna and Dana are the best, and they love kids. And, they see the problems with math incompetency in our area, and they are really, that's why they did this, is because they want to help with this problem. Mathnasium, located next to Marshall's in the Fresh Market Shopping Center at 9th and Airport.
Managing your ECUA service is easier. The new My ECUA mobile app puts everything you need right at your fingertips. From paying your bill, submitting service requests, and reporting issues like missed collections, damaged or lost bins, water main breaks, and sewer overflows, it's all right there in one easy-to-use app. Take control of your services anytime, anywhere. So download My ECUA. It's available in the App Store and Google Play.
There are too many part-time agents in today's real estate market. Agents who don't do the simple things, communicate clearly, negotiate firmly, or prepare strategically. I'm Helen Council, working alongside Vinnie Matassa at Connor O'Donovan Real Estate. We serve the greater Pensacola area and we'll be there for you every step of your real estate journey. Don't buy or sell anything in Pensacola or the surrounding area until you call us. That's Helen and Vinny, and we want to be your realtors. Find us at soldbyvinnyfl.com.
This message is sponsored by the Florida Office of Financial Regulation and the Florida Association of Broadcasters.
Secret offers, guaranteed returns, over-the-top promises that you too can make fast money. These are all red flags that you should be wary of when looking at investment opportunities. Visit Florida's Office of Financial Regulation website 24/7 to learn what questions to ask before you invest. Remember, if it sounds too good to be true, it probably is. Visit SLOFR.gov to learn more.
There are a lot of questions about roof replacement in the news lately, such as insurance companies demanding replacement before they cancel coverage to companies not doing the job that they sold to you. Make sure you tune in to the Pensacola Expert Panel this Thursday at 9:30 as Quality Roofing Solutions will answer your questions. Find out what makes Quality Roofing Solutions the premier contractor in Florida this Thursday at 9:30.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620.
Getting you up to date as you head to work. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News on News Radio 92.3.
Informative, local, dependable.
They played this on Friday night, I think. The band, which I think was from Nashville, although somebody else said they thought they were from New Orleans. The band for the Fiesta event for Coronation was fantastic. And I remember them playing this. And I'm not, a lot of times when I go to these parties, you know, and there are people are trying to dance or I'm trying to dance. I'm like, I don't want to dance to that. I don't have to dance to that.
That comes on, everybody's got to hit the
floor. But you got to move. And, you know, a song that you at least you can sing all the lyrics to, that makes me excited. Now, Jordan, I'm going to do a quick test.
Okay.
Okay, so you are 34?
30, just turned 35.
Just
30, yeah.
35. Okay. Okay. So that was really close.
Yeah.
All right. Do you know, did you recognize that right before the song? Do you know this one?
I'm going to be completely honest with you. No, that's like in my head, the first thing that popped in my head when I heard that, I was like, is that Turbo Man's theme from Jingle All the Way? What's going on?
That's the Mutual of Omaha Wild Kingdom sound effect. But I thought maybe I had shot past your lifespan but with that one. So this is a good reminder. You know, I'm always talking about how we want to have this show. I want to be inclusive to all ages.
I mean, I enjoyed it. I enjoyed it. I
but
just didn't
it doesn't
know what it was.
Mean anything to you. Yeah. And so, yeah. Whereas for people my age, and I think even David's age, like, how does he not know that? Well, because... Look, the basic rule is you're not responsible for the music and the movies and the TV that happened before you were born.
Okay, fair enough.
If you know stuff from before you were born, that's a luxury. That's a bonus. But you're not obligated. You're not even really, I mean, if you think about it, you're not really obligated to know stuff until you're about 10 years old. Maybe 5.
True. Fair enough.
You
yeah.
know, so, but anyway, I just thought, all right, so we're old.
I do know Knight Rider because we discussed that before.
You will know, there will definitely be some things you know anyway.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
There's a lot that would not. Yeah, so.
Shout out to TV Land.
My wife is 5 years younger than I am, and we run into stuff all the time where she doesn't know that band, doesn't know that TV show, doesn't know that movie.
Yeah, yeah.
And of course, that's also because I misspent my youth in a lot of things that she did not misspend her youth on. Let's see. Jordan has traffic on the fives.
Yeah. Right now, the roads are looking pretty good. But if you do come across anything, you can always let us know. 850-437-1620. I'm Jordan with your traffic on the fives.
It wasn't misspent, by the way. It was just spent on becoming a talk show host 40 years later. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines this morning. David?
Well, good morning. We briefly mentioned this earlier, but an Army Apache helicopter went down near the coast of Oman. The good news, both crew members were rescued. Officials say it's the first successful rescue by an unmanned U.S. military drone boat. And Central Command says the drone vessel was able to locate the soldiers within about 2 hours of the helicopter going down. Both are in stable condition. President Trump attended Game 3 of the NBA Finals last night at Madison Square Garden to watch the New York Knicks during the national anthem. He was shown on the arena's, what do they call it, Jumbotron or big video board thing. Apparently was met with loud boos from many fans in attendance.
Oh, wait, I have it. You ready?
Oh, you've got it.
Oh, yeah. Whose blood stripes and bright stars. People were booing during the anthem because the president was there. Crazy.
Yeah. The president was actually asked about it after. He said he thought he got an amazing reaction from the crowd. So
he would, of course.
And Serena Williams returning to the court today. The 44-year-old tennis legend said she is ending her 4-year retirement, making her comeback at the Queen's Club Championships in London.
All right, David, thanks so much for the update. 437-1620. Oh, I did get a couple of texts in here I want to talk about in property taxes. Somebody says, Andrew, all they're going to do is increase your property value and change the millage in a couple years to get their money. I mean, maybe they could raise the millage. You know, that would kind of counteract some of the homestead exemption stuff. Increasing your property value, that's not really so feasible. You know, there's all kinds of, I mean, you're alleging a wild amount of corruption by the tax appraiser. Just, you know, FYI, I wouldn't personally endorse that view at all. But it does raise a question. One of the things about property taxes that is super weird, and this gets mentioned once in a while, but you know, if your home goes up in value, now we have Save Our Homes in Florida, so it only can go up by 3% a year by rule. But still, when your home goes up in value, that doesn't mean that you have more income to pay more property taxes. You've got what they call unrealized gains. The thing is supposedly worth more, but that doesn't mean that your income changed, so your ability to pay more taxes hasn't changed. It's a super weird system that we force people to pay more on a commodity that they don't get any benefit out of. I mean, if you have some kind of a like an investment portfolio and it goes up in value and we tax you on the basis of the value of the portfolio, at least you can sell off shares. You can't like sell off shares of your house to raise money to pay your property taxes. You'd have to like refinance it or get a second or something. I mean, it's a silly system the way it works. So I agree with that concern. Somebody else says, Don says, without another mechanism to replace the funds lost property tax cuts, the mechanism is a different tax somewhere else. And that's almost certain to happen. But there are limits on what they can do there, too. It's not like they can just go out and grab the money somewhere else. But yes, you will definitely see some tax shifting, particularly to commercial, which means to renters, we would expect.
You're listening to News Radio 92.3 WNRP, Gulf Breeze, Milton, Pensacola.